Good morning, good morning, good morning, my loves. How are you? This is Roseanne Austin, and I am so happy to welcome you to Committed, Happy, and Confident, How Smart Couples Win on Their Fertility Journey. I am absolutely thrilled to be sharing this time with you this morning. This is going to be something really special. And it's actually been something that's been on my heart for some time, and it's so exciting to be able to add a fresh perspective to this journey in the way of really taking a close look and, you know, what is it really like to be the other half on this journey? And so much of the stress and, you know, a rather significant portion of the stress that we endure on this journey comes from two very valid questions, but in truth, they're actually pretty scary as hell. And they encompass some of the key things that we agonize over when we're on this journey and we're looking at our partner and, you know, we're really wondering what's next for us. And those two questions are ultimately, one, will my relationship survive this journey? And two, what's going to happen to us if it doesn't work? So we're going to, you know, and there's a zillion other related questions that we'll bludgeon ourselves with on this journey, you know, and different issues that will come up. But this morning is all about giving you a behind-the-scenes look at how one couple, my husband and I, really navigated this journey successfully and how we used the way that we approached this journey after years of failure, how we used it to actually catapult us into success. Because look, you know, left to our own devices, far too many of us are going to answer those questions of, you know, will my relationship survive this journey and what's going to happen to us if it doesn't work? You know, we'll fall back into old patterns and we'll answer those preceding questions with fear-based, catastrophic responses. So this is about really turning things around and opening up a different kind of conversation. So before we get into the meat and potatoes here, I really want to make sure that everyone can hear me. So I don't want you to miss out on this opportunity. So if you can hear me, just go ahead and hit *2 on your telephone keypad. I want to make sure that we're coming through loud and clear because this is a really unique opportunity to hear a different perspective. Okay, great. So we are doing great. So, you know, as I was saying in the beginning, when we're on this journey and there's just so much going on, so much information flying all over the place, and we're really just kind of trying to get our bearings, you know, if you approach this journey in a way that you're not really on the same page with your partner or you haven't had really clear conversations, you know, that's when the spin cycle of freakout can start. You know, this is where we quietly agonize over what our partner's really thinking. We wildly speculate about their judgments regarding money, treatments, and how far they are willing to go before, quote unquote, pulling the plug. This is where we play out torturous scenarios in our minds about getting abandoned in favor for someone younger and more fertile. We beat ourselves up endlessly about being to blame for our partner never getting to experience the joy of parenthood. And we can even go down the nasty road of beginning to wonder if we're even worthy of their love at all because we can't seem to do something so biologically basic. And, you know, what's worse is that facing this subject can at times be so scary that instead of getting real facts about what's really going on in our relationships and what's really true for us, we'll just keep laboring under mistaken or unfair notions about our partner, which only drives an invisible wedge between us further. And, you know, all of this can leave you both wondering how could things have gone so far off the rails? And with so much silence and shame surrounding fertility issues, it can be hard to find relatable role models or even couples who are willing to be real about their experience and really shed some light on the things they did to be successful. So today is all about giving you a behind the scenes, no holds barred look at how one couple's perspective on what smart couples do. And, you know, what do they do and what do they need to know if they want to really win on this journey? And my husband and I are here to share our experience and how we turn things around and how we literally set ourselves up for inevitable success. Because this, I mean, I think as you'll see, you know, what we, when we changed our approach to the way we lived our journey, everything else changed. And we really love sharing this information because we wish we had it. We wished, you know, that we weren't so hiding in the shadows and not really, you know, having an outlet for talking about what was going on for us and really having other couples to relate to. So this is really, really extraordinary. And I really want to take a moment to send a loving shout out to Joanne and the entire Circle in Bloom team for making this time that we have together possible. Circle in Bloom is absolutely extraordinary. They are so committed to empowering women on this journey by creating programs to harness the undeniable power of the mind-body connection. And Circle in Bloom was such an integral part of our own journey. And Circle in Bloom's programs really were some of the beginnings of how I know personally I began to look at myself differently, look at my body differently, and see how powerful the mind and body connection could be, and really showed me how I could empower myself. So love, take a moment to just send Circle in Bloom some real gratitude. They are a leader in the fertility community, and them providing this opportunity is phenomenal. So, and really quickly, for those of you who are joining us for the first time, if you don't know me, again, my name is Roseanne Austin. I'm a fertility mindset coach. I help women get pregnant, loves, and I do that by teaching them to leverage the most powerful resource they have, and that's mindset. Having spent years on my own fertility journey while I was a state prosecutor here in California, undergoing every treatment, diet, lotion, potion, and anything else I could get my hands on, and spending over $100,000 in this process and still not getting pregnant, I had to learn about mindset the hard way. And when I started using the undeniable power of the mind-body connection to my advantage, my husband and I beat the odds. And it's why I'm 44 today with a 9-month-old baby who was conceived naturally after being treated at a top 10 teaching hospital and basically being told that it wasn't going to happen for me. And I now coach women on 6 of 7 continents to do the same. And beating the odds is what my clients do day in and day out. And that's why we're so passionate about sharing this information. In my practice right now, we're at 12 pregnancies and 141 days, and this is for women who have been struggling for years. So if I did it, if they did it, so can you. I really want to take a stand for that this morning and stand with you. Look, it doesn't matter where you are on your journey. You can do this. You can absolutely make your dreams come true. So hold on to that thought. Make sure you write it down. Do whatever you have to do because it's the truth. It's the truth. So today you are going to be learning what it's really like to be the other half of the fertility equation, which actually may surprise you. You're going to get the scoop on the pivotal conversation that finally put my husband and I on the same page, regardless of what showed up on our journey. And you're going to discover the game-changing way that we use disappointment and failure as a springboard to more peace, joy, and dare I say happiness on this journey. And then finally, you're going to hear about the critical piece of the puzzle that made the arrival of our miracle boy no longer a matter of if, but when. So now, ladies, we're going to have, you know, my husband and I are just going to really have a conversation here, and I'm going to ask him some questions that I'm sure you would love to ask your own partner. So, and after we do that, we're going to open up the phone line for you to be able to ask us questions. You can ask my husband questions. If your partner is there listening, you know, let's have a conversation. You know, it's Saturday morning here in California, and, you know, we have a 9-month-old baby who's got swimming lessons later this morning. So I want to preface that also that you may hear a little bit of 9-month-old, let's say, babbling in the background. But look, we're keeping it real, and we want you to see how attainable getting to this place is and how, you know, being yourself and owning who you are in this process, owning who you are as a couple in this process can really change everything. So with that, I'm going to introduce my husband, loves, and I'm not ashamed to tell you, I really lucked out here. My husband is a Marine, a first responder, a stand-up guy, and devoted father to our miracle boy. And Brandon really knows exactly what it means to be an awesome partner on this journey. And I wouldn't have done it without him, but I couldn't have done it without him and who the two of us have become in this process. I mean, it makes me misty today to think about what we had been through and how far we have come and really how our fertility journey actually prepared us for living a life beyond our, you know, our greatest expectations. So with that, I am delighted to welcome you online. Are you on, Ben?
Yes, love. Good morning.
Say good morning to the ladies. We literally have women from and their partners from all over the world on the line.
Good morning, everyone.
So, love, I want to, let's talk about what it was really like for you. You know, what was it really like to be the other half of the fertility equation? You know, what was it like for you to even be on this journey?
The journey is, it's so frequently indescribable and just sit here and think back through all the years of the many choices, the many different outcomes. It's difficult to quantify in just one feeling in one sentence. So I apologize in advance if I get a little windy at times, but it's so difficult for, it was so difficult for me. I'm not going to speak for all men. I'm not going to speak for our partnership. But it was so difficult for me to feel the inadequacy of not being able to provide what I thought was such a basic evolutionary something I could provide so easily, something that we could do so easily, that we could see so naturally through our entire life. And it was very, very, very disturbing to my core, and it made me and left me feeling inadequate so frequently.
And, you know, what was it like for you to, you know, I mean, I bet, like, I remember back, I mean, we just thought it was going to be, you know, it was going to happen. Boom, we were going to decide that we were going to have a baby, and then, boom, it was going to happen, and then we ride off into the sunset. What was it like for you? Because I know it was shocking for me. Like, when I was like, okay, well, I was in my late 30s when we started, and I figured, okay, this might take a little bit of time, but like, it was pretty shocking for me that we were even struggling in this area. I mean, what was it like when that kind of made itself known in, you know, as far as you were concerned?
Well, I think for us, you have a brother, and at that time they didn't have a child. I don't have any siblings. And I guess the me being naive in this, without having a significant family, and nobody had ever gone through anything like this, was that you know, the first time these things start moving toward that direction, it's going to happen, and then it doesn't, and then it's a sense of confusion, because for your entire life you're brought up thinking that this is going to be biologically sound. It's just going to happen. And when those failures start to develop, it really causes you to question what you're capable of, and bring in thoughts of what you're incapable of. And that was a difficult balance to start to see shift. And before, you think you're capable of anything and everything. And then it slowly starts to switch and say, well, I'm incapable of doing this, and I'm now incapable of doing that, and what else am I incapable of? And that's a difficult shift to start feeling within yourself.
Yeah, no, I mean, because I think, you know, the audience has heard before that I was a state prosecutor when we were going through this, and you too are very successful in your career. And, you know, what was it like to be, you know, essentially, because you work in a very masculine environment. It's like, you know, what was it like to kind of have this thing going on in the background amongst, you know, other guys that, you know, have families? And, you know, I mean, do you guys talk about stuff like this?
No. I didn't have conversations with anybody about this. Maybe one or two very close personal friends, but it wasn't through a casual conversation in my professional setting by any means. It really shouldn't, but it develops a sense of inadequacy and some odd shame. And I still don't know how to quantify how that shame manifests, but it did for me. And I didn't want people knowing about our struggles, because somehow I would be viewed, or you would be viewed, as these incapable and inadequate people. None of that's true. You know, going through this for all these years and discussing it with other people now, I don't believe that about them. Why would I believe that anybody believe that about you and I? But it's still real. It was very, very real at the time. And you and I, we hid our place in this journey for a long time from people that are the closest people to us and friends and family. And why did we do that? I still don't have a good rationale for that, other than our feelings were real.
Right, right. Well, I mean, I think a lot of times, like, I felt like I was living a double life. Like, I felt like Batman. I mean, I don't know
Absolutely.
If you felt that way.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We were making long trips a couple times a week. I couldn't be at work until after a certain time, after we did whatever we did, or I had to be home from work. And at the time, it wasn't an easy situation to sometimes leave my position at work to go home to do the things that we had to do, whether it was shots or appointments or whatever the case might be. And so you find yourself making oddball excuses and disappearing at times from family and friends or from your profession. And of course, people are going to start to notice. It's going to take different tolls, that people aren't dumb. They're going to see that something's changed and something is different.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, what do you think it was that, I mean, what did you start noticing about me in this process?
Well, I fell in love with you for one of the aspects is that your strength and your determination and your resolve and your character. And I saw that starting to slowly erode your confidence, and you and I was attracted to you immediately because of your confidence and your ability to display strength, and that strength slowly turned into a manifestation of anxiety, and that anxiety was starting to be worn physically. And so I could see that it wasn't only, you know, obviously I could rationalize and completely understand that it was mentally taxing for you, it was mentally taxing for me. But I could see, and perhaps you could see on me, that it was physically taxing as well. And we know that mentally taxing oneself and subsequently physically taxing oneself isn't going to produce the results you want to produce.
Well, I think we learned that the hard way, though, right? Like, we didn't really put that two and two together at all, I think, in the beginning.
No, of course not. You don't see, well, first of all, you don't immediately see it. And it's certainly a lot easier to look back and think of it and see them and recognize those things now. But you don't see them immediately when they're happening. And you don't recognize when there is a shift frequently that does lead to a small amount or a marked amount of success, that you don't immediately recognize what had caused that shift. And again, looking back, all these different markers and all these different signs over the course of our journey, it's easy for us to point through the path now, but certainly moving the other direction toward where we are, it wasn't that easy. It took a long time for us to look back and see markers and realize what adjustments we were making that were truly affecting our journey, as opposed to, you know, looking back and seeing a marker and thinking that it was a marker of success for another reason when it wasn't.
Yeah. So let's talk about, because, you know, one of the things that we wanted to lay out here is, like, you know, some of the things that I was thinking, you know, because I was so afraid of what you were thinking. I was really freaking out about, you know, what's he going to say? You know, what's he going to do? Because we're shoveling money out the door, like, at 90 miles an hour. You know, how long is he going to be on board for these treatments? You know, what's he going to say? And, you know, and when is he going to tell me that he wants to pull the plug? You know, what was going on in your mind about those things? Like, let's start with the money part.
Money. So you were a professional. I was a professional. I was more confident in my belief that the money had always been there before this journey, and it would always be there after this journey. I was less concerned with the money. It was a concern because you know, we found ourselves spending money on just insane things, and I'm sure we'll talk about some of those because we look back and laugh at that. But it truly goes to point to this matter of desperation that we were trying to tackle in any way we could. So we saw money going out at a rate that we hadn't had prior and we haven't had since. And we sacrificed a lifestyle. We sacrificed gifts. We sacrificed trips. We sacrificed dinners. Whatever the case was, we sacrificed an entire lifestyle that we had developed before that to accommodate that. And, hey, so be it. No big deal. We did it, and we're here today. Had we been able to abbreviate some of that, I wouldn't. I'd take that money back in my pocket. I'd be happy with that.
Why don't you tell these ladies, what were some of the quote-unquote insane things that you remember spending money on?
So we were building out our bathroom, and we're at the tile store, and the ladies at the tile store are constantly asking about if we're going to have a family. If we're going to have a family, we're going to have a family. And one of them said that one of their, I don't believe we had even said anything to these people about our struggles, but one of them said, oh, you know, sometimes it takes a little longer. You guys are a little older. I had a family friend that was a little older and a subsequent, another family friend. And I gave them both, at different times, this African fertility doll. And all you do is put it underneath your bed, and bam, you got a baby within no time. And sure enough, the next time we were there, she had a bag with an African fertility doll. And what do? Hey, look, we're gonna go. Let's throw this African fertility doll underneath our bed and sleep with this. You drug me to the city to get a Mayan organ massage or some crazy stuff like that. We went to another part of the Bay Area to go see some stand in line for like 6 hours to hug some hugging saint or something like that. And, you know, anything you could do to support your mindset, which is ultimately what these small increments of support are small tools to help retool our mindset and get us believing. You know, we were struggling to develop belief and confidence, and it led us to, like I said, African fertility dolls or hugging saints or organ massages or.
Remember, I boiled black chickens.
You boiled black chickens. You went to Chinatown and got crazy stinky black chickens and stunk up the house and boiled them, and then had this just vile broth in the fridge that stunk up the fridge. And I mean, my wife likes crazy stinky ass cheese, and the black chicken rivaled the cheese. So go ahead, love. I'm sorry.
We saw a lot of things. We'll put it that way, right?
Yeah. And, you know, it was a journey together. And there was times where we were standing in line at the Hugging Saint laughing about what we were doing. But it was a journey together. So it wasn't just this desperate grasp for confidence and belief. We obviously bonded when we were doing these things together. But you look back and you're like, hey, we were down. We were going to do what we had to do.
Right.
Ultimately, those things weren't the absolute catalyst for our change. But looking back, it was a good time. I enjoyed my different adventures with my wife, and we've just shifted our adventures to hopefully things more rational.
Right. So, you know, I think it's going to be important, you know, to let's zero in on, you know, there was so much worry that was going on in my mind, like in the background. Like, I was really afraid. And, you know, I honestly was afraid that you're going to trade me in for a younger model, somebody who was so, much more fertile than I was. You know, we were struggling with unexplained infertility, which is probably the most annoying, one of the most annoying diagnoses, because they just couldn't put their finger on it. I mean, what were you actually thinking? Because I was freaking out that you were going to leave me for somebody else that was more fertile. I mean, what was actually going through your mind? Let's dispel that myth.
Well, I think that is a common thing for you and I, is that you were afraid of that. And I was afraid that you would think I would think that. So it was a cycle that played into and off of itself, in that I desperately wanted to convey that I supported you in this journey, no matter what our outcome was. But, I mean, that's hard for you to believe. It's hard for me to convey. I'm not the great communicator. And so it was difficult for me to watch you mentally, emotionally, and physically struggle, and maybe unable to support you in a way that could appropriately convey, and yeah, maybe I was appropriately conveying it, but that belief for you and the belief for me that you were believing me, that's a disconnect. It was a disconnect, and so I struggled to try and support you in any other way I could, whether it was making all of our appointments, supporting some of the more crazy ideas, whether it was I wanted to spend the money on those or not. But, hey, let's do it, because I struggled to find additional ways to convey my support, to help you believe that I wasn't going anywhere, that you and I were always my priority, you and I were always the number one, and anything else was an addition to that. And, you know, we started our life together a little bit later, and we have a very, very strong bond. You know, we're a little bit more mature and farther along in our lives and career, so other things didn't necessarily interfere and affect our relationship like they may have if we had been in a different position. But I knew I had found the love of my life, and I wasn't going anywhere. But saying that and doing that, obviously they're in alignment for me, but getting you to believe those things, not that you disbelieved, you never, ever, ever once said that you thought I was going to do that. Of course, it's always a joke, and I still joke to you about it today that you're going to trade me, and I'm breaking down, so you're going to trade me in. And so, you know, those are jokes that we can enjoy, but back then they weren't jokes. They were fears.
Right. And so let's talk about that. Let's tell these ladies, you know, what was this pivotal conversation that we finally had that, you know, put us on the same page? And we basically said, you know what, regardless of what shows up on this journey, you know, we know that we're going to be on the same page. You want to tell them just a little bit about that?
Well, I think there was more than just one, but we had some pretty critical road therapy sessions, to where we're driving hours and hours and hours to try and wrap our minds around our life and what we had fought for 30 some odd years was going to be a lifestyle and an inevitability may not be, and the retooling our thoughts to really convey to each other that regardless of where the process and the journey took us, that it was going to be you and I. You know, we said that at the very beginning, and then 4 or 5 years down the road, we had to have that conversation again. And like you said, knowing when to call it quits, and quits is a little bit harsh, when to change up some of the techniques or the tactics, I think is probably more appropriate as to how we tackled our journey. We never called anything quits. We never called quits with each other. We never called quits with our dreams and our goals, our ultimate goal. We just retooled our approach. So, you know, those conversations were aplenty, and they were really, really hard to have. Not in that you and I can't communicate, but they were difficult to face as a man, and I'm sure as a strong woman for yourself, as a man, that I'm going to say whether or not specifically, you know, the medical treatments or the massage or the acupuncture was ever going to lead to a child for us, that it was absolutely critical, so critical that we conveyed to each other that it was us no matter what, and any child after that was going to be just an incredible supplement to our incredible life and our incredible marriage.
Yeah. I mean, I think us getting on the same page in that way, and us being really clear about our commitment to each other, like come hell or high water, I think once we had that series of conversations and really ultimately reinforcing that, I mean, that was a significant downshift in the level of stress. And I knew that, you know, whatever came our way, that we were going to be together. And that was such a huge relief, you know. And so let's talk about how, you know, we faced a lot of disappointment. I mean, a lot of disappointment and quote unquote failure on this journey. I mean, years of it. And, you know, let's talk with these ladies just briefly about, you know, how did we use that disappointment and failure as a springboard to having more peace and having more joy and happiness? I mean, it, you know, because with all of the craziness that we faced, I mean, we would have had every, you know, amazing excuse to be some miserable people. But what was it that, you know, caused us to not do that? And
yeah.
how did we use the situation?
I'd say, you know, just for every 9 disappointments, there was 1 success. But we enjoyed we were together for the disappointments, and we were there for the success. And if for every block of 10, and we went all the way up to 50, we saw, looking back, 5 markers for success and all these different disappointments. But we were there to support each other through those disappointments and through there to enjoy those successes together. And we started seeing, you know, every time we had a marker of success, we, you know, whether it was the first or second one, we didn't recognize what had created that success. By the time you get 4 or 5 successes over the course of 3, 4, 5 years, you start looking back and go, wait a second, every time we had something go well for us on this journey, it was always closely associated with some shift in what we were doing. And not just like I'm driving the SUV instead of the car at acupuncture today. It was a monumental shift in how we were believing we should be living our lives. You know, we started out very hardcore and sacrificing stuff, and not that our resolve was different, but our lifestyle surrounding that and was ultimately the small markers of change that we were seeing. We were becoming more involved in the belief in ourselves, and we were becoming more involved in kind of just retooling how we were living our life at those times, whether it was
right.
You know, we're not gonna say no to this treatment, but we're not going to say no to living our life on the other side of it or before it.
Right.
And boom, a little mark of success popped up. But, you know, oh, well, that we had a good treatment round. We didn't see it as the change in our lifestyle. We saw it as the change in the treatment style. Okay. So we go through it again, and then we have a failure on that treatment. And, well, okay, why was that one different than the other one? Well, it's because we weren't parallel with the belief in ourselves and the belief in us and our goal. We had left that aspect out. So, you know, unbeknownst to us, we did it again on the next treatment, and a marker of success popped up. And it took a few of those shifts before we look back and go, wait a second. We did really well on these three. And what was consistent with those three? Well, it was that we changed our beliefs and started living our life differently.
Yeah, so let's talk about that, because let's be very specific, because so often, you know, we think, you know, and I totally agree with you. I mean, when we look back at our own journey, we're like, okay, well, if we had some minor success, it must have been the medicine. It must have been this, or it must have been that. But the reality was, when we actually look back, we started to see some successes when we changed our perspective and we started thinking differently, because so much of what we had done up to that point was so fear-based and so scarcity and lack-based, because we, you know, like you were saying earlier, you know, we stopped going out to eat, we stopped doing this, we stopped doing that, you know, we stopped going on vacation. I think we stopped going on vacation for like 5 years or something like that. I don't remember exactly, but it was a long time. And all of a sudden we just started, you know, we started educating ourselves and, you know, about mindset, and we started to really look at things differently. And then we started saying big yeses. Like, we started saying, well, why can't we, like, enjoy our lives and try to conceive? And I think that's the point that you were making.
I think you hit it, and I think you hit the term that I was searching for, is we were living in a fear-based world, to where all of our future decisions were being thought through on this fear rehearsal matrix, where when this failure happens, we will react this way. When this failure happens and we're out this money, we will react this way. And that was absolutely so damaging. It just, looking back, it's easy for us to say how critical and damaging it was. And once we started making our decisions from a place of confidence and power and belief in ourselves that, and, you know, I don't want to sound like some crazy maniac that, whatever, you just got to believe. That's not what it is. There's an actual matrix and a process in a system for this sort of stuff. It took us a long time to figure this out. But, you know, from the very, very basic level, it's, yeah, hey, look, we're in a bad way making fear-based decisions. And the times where we saw success in our past were when we made decisions based on from a place of confidence and resolve, and that we're going to live our life in a very strong and positive manner. And boom,
right.
Something changed. Some little things started changing. And then when you start changing your entire perspective to shift to that matter or to the in that manner, then you start seeing greater gains.
Right. Because I remember from the get-go, you know, I remember our very first IVF treatment. Like, I mean, they gave us some scary statistics. I mean, it was crazy. And, like, you know, we didn't have the mental discipline, and we obviously did not have the mindset to be able to say, okay, that's just information. We let that completely define us. Like, I remember sitting in the room, and we were both, like, looked at each other like, oh, my God, why are we even trying this? Like, it totally sucked the life out of me, I know, for sure, to think, oh, my gosh, I have X percent of this even working. You know, so I think that actually speaks to something that you said that was really great, like, early on, was, like, you know, we were capable people. You know, we dominated our field, and, like, when we were, you know, got slapped in the face with this, it was completely unnerving, and
right.
It really
yes.
shook our confidence.
Yeah, you become, you start to feel very small. And also, I'll speak to you. You brought up our first IVF. I didn't like the doctor, but I didn't have any knowledge, and we didn't have any other greater knowledge. So I, you know, instead of standing up for what we believed was important to us, that was the very, very first part of this process, that we subordinated our confidence and our belief to, and turn that power over to fear. And, well, this person's a doctor, they know better. And, yeah, of course, they're highly educated and they've gone through the process, but that doesn't mean they can bombard us with fear-based statistics and take $25,000 from us. It left a poor taste in my mouth. And if you want better chances, then, you know, spend more on this package. And ultimately, when we switch hospitals, our experiences dramatically changed, and my personal comfortable level with a doctor's change, and that was better. But, you know, we wasted a lot of money and a lot of important time and incurred the very beginning portion of the erosion of our confidence right there with for me, my decision to not say anything and say, this doctor's not going to work for us. And I learned a very, very, very difficult lesson with that, in that, you know, hey, I wasn't a strong advocate for us. And of course, you know, thinking back, how do I feel about that? Now I felt small and I felt inadequate. And that's, you know, still damaging, that I wasn't strong enough to stand up for what I believed for us.
I think what you're saying, what you're saying is like, so it's really, really, it's so real and it's so brilliant, because like that's part of this whole mindset thing is like, you know, we checked our power at the door. And, you know, I think that, you know, as you were saying before, this whole idea of the way, you know, how we started to shift what we thought about ourselves, that was a game changer, because, you know, that was really, that's the thing that set us on a different course. Because, you know, when we started to take control of what we thought and what we believed, that's when we actually switched hospitals. And that's when we started demanding more from our fertility team. You know, we wanted people that were on our team that believed in us, that didn't just like spoon feed us a bunch of scary statistics, but people that actually supported our vision and wanted to be there for us.
That was kind of what we were saying earlier, is that, you know, what we saw, that it was a change in the treatment, when I believe that was a contributor, but ultimately it was a change in our belief and our confidence that started making that first mark for success, that, hey, we're going to take a stand for ourselves, we're going to switch, we're going to be more comfortable, and we're going to be more confident, and boom, a little success. Okay, that worked. It must have been the treatment. Glad we changed hospitals. Well, yes, of course, those things went hand in hand at that particular time, but a lot of the other markers of success that we had were not treatment related. They were clearly, or there was no correlation with the treatment. They were clearly mindset related.
Right. And so, you know, what was it? I mean, like, let's talk super briefly, because I want to open up the phone line so these ladies and their partners can be asking us questions, because this is a really amazing opportunity. But, you know, you had talked about something earlier about feeling inadequate about supporting me. And I remember, you know, I didn't think you were inadequate at all, but I realized that there was only so much that I could, that we could do, that we were even aware of. And I remember the first time that I told you, I remember rather sheepishly that I wanted help. And I went out and I tried to find somebody that could help me, and I didn't want therapy. It's not like I have a mad respect for therapy, but I wanted somebody to teach me, like, how could I do this better? And how could I, you know, what is it that I could do to be a better person and better manage my own life in this process? And that's when I first started, you know, exposing myself to coaching. You know, I found somebody to help me. Like, what was really going through your mind when I told you I wanted to do that?
Yeah, well, two things. My wife's a perpetual student, is constantly on this epic journey to gather up more and more and more knowledge. And I've never met anybody who likes to study for a hobby, but that's my wife. And so when you started talking about coaching, you know, I didn't understand the process, you know, and now looking back, for me, it's very, very easy. Anybody with any success has a coach. You don't just walk out on the football field in ninth grade without a coach and expect to learn how to play and subsequently play football good. And obviously all the way up through professional sports, or whether it's a professional mentor, it's a coach. And it's somebody that, you know, gently helps you through this process, or perhaps less gently, and jumps in you as a mentor in the Marine Corps, or whatever the case might be. But I was a little perplexed. But again, for out of fear that you were thinking that I wasn't going to be supportive, hey, give it a go. Let's give it a shot. I don't know what the result, but we've seen way crazier stuff. So the coaching was relatively tame, you know, on the grand perspective. I didn't have to stand in line for 6 hours and hug some sneaky lady with thousands of people. Cool. All right, let's go down this path, because quite honestly, mentally and physically, maybe I was ready for a break. And if this person could help support the support you were getting on the whole, then I was all for it. And yeah,
what did you notice?
It was rather immediate that things started to change your perspective, your outlook, your demeanor. You can almost physically see it, in that this shoulder down, this slumped chest, this shallow breathing turns into this confident, shoulders back, chest up, big, strong, deep, confident breath. I mean, you could almost physically see it. And I don't want to sound like some crazy loon that we're going to go sit in some special lodge and do whatever. And if that's what people are into, that's what people are into. But I could truly see how, just after a few sessions, that your confidence and your demeanor was returning so fast. And that was what was so impressive to me, was like, well, wait a second. This incredibly strong, beautiful, intelligent woman that had been and had subordinated so much of those things to this journey was starting to come back. And then, of course, it reinvigorated me, because obviously I was feeling taxed too, but it didn't just reinvigorate my mental and my physical energy. It reinvigorated my true soul. It really did. Seeing that woman come back.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that's really the critical piece of the puzzle that made Asher's arrival like an inevitability, was, you know, when I started, you know, reaching out to get the help that I got, and, you know, even though they didn't know anything about fertility really, but, you know, they were doing the best that they could and like really kind of helped open my eyes that we could do this differently. You know, I started doing things differently. I saw the ripple effect in you, and it really just put us on a different path. We started saying such huge yeses to ourselves, and we just started living again. And, you know, this is why, you know, at 42, well, I was 42. Ladies, you might not know this. My husband's a little bit younger than me. But like, I, you know, it's like when we conceived Asher, it was so clear. Like, it was so clear. We had so much joy in our lives. We were literally living completely differently. Our confidence was through the roof. You know, we really started looking at the bigger picture in our lives, and we started, you know, we completely departed from this lack and scarcity thinking. And we just said, yes, you know, we're going to live a life and we're going to conceive our son. I don't know why I knew that he was going to be a boy, but I just did. And, you know, we let that guide us instead of the scary statistics, because the statistics did not get better for us. Because at that point I was well into my 40s. So we really had no reason, no quote unquote reason, logical or linear, to believe that this would happen for us, but it did.
Yeah. But that, you know, that confidence that I was discussing, that I saw return in you and how it revitalized me. I'm not saying that things were ever bad, but hey, we're always working to the better. And when that started to change, I mean, I think our intimacy, you know, it goes from being very, oh, hey, okay, at 4:45 today, lift this leg. My body temperature is this. And then we're going to do it three more times. It becomes so clinical and so sterile and lacking in the love that started this process that things leave. And for lack of a, sometimes the joy leaves when it becomes that clinical, right? I mean, I'm not saying anything that I know other people haven't experienced. So it's real difficult to say, but I never felt that we were lacking love and lacking passion, but clearly those things had changed. And when I saw the confidence change in you and the belief, and like I said, it reinvigorated my soul, it really reinvigorated a lot of things, ladies, if you know what I mean, for me. And it brought us closer and more passionate and more intimacy back into our relationship that, sometimes, like I said, when you're waiting on body temperatures, you're waiting on times and your things have to be in this position and it just takes a lot of the joy out of it. And it really,
right.
For me, brought passion and joy back into our, without getting terribly personal. But again, I know we're not the only people that have experienced this. I know that for a fact. I've had subsequent conversations with other guys that have struggled, through the IVF process. And they're like, oh man, I got to get home. It's, I got to wait on body temperature and the right time. And I only get it, these 3 days this month because of, some other doctor or some other belief that this is absolute and stop after that. And it just takes the joy out of it. So when we found that, when we got that joy and that passion, it really, really changed a lot of stuff for us.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we're going to open up the phone lines, babe, because I know these ladies are probably dying to ask some questions, but it was really us, when we look back on our journey, ladies, I think my husband is absolutely right. There were consistent markers for success. And one of the things that really woke up in us was, being in service. And that's why I do what I do now, because when we realized that, there was actually a process to thinking that changed in us and put us on this path, I want to share this with the world. And that's why I coach. That's why, I put my heart and soul in that. And that's why we are in an insane baby boom right now, 12 pregnancies in 141 days. This mindset thing works. And, we're going to open up the phone lines, but, if you want to learn more about this and you want to chat about how you can apply the same principles in your life and on your journey that we use to build the success, not only in our relationship, but in our lives. And that's why we have our 9-month-old boy that's going to have swimming lessons shortly, reach out. If you're listening online, you can hit, there's a little gray box in the upper left-hand corner. If you're listening online, you can click that to request time with me. That's our gift to the Circle and Bloom community. And let's talk about working together. Or you can go to my website, www.frommaybetobaby.com/breakthrough, and request some time with me. So, babe, I'm going to, if you just hang on the line here. And ladies, if you have a question that you want to ask me or my husband, obviously we're keeping it real here. We're just regular people who, who found success in their relationship and who found success on this journey despite insane odds. Ask us anything. So if you have a question, you can hit *2 on your telephone keypad, and we will be happy to answer your questions. And I'm going to check to see if we have any questions coming in online. And, ask away, ladies. Clearly my husband is a pretty cool guy. And if you have something that you want to ask us, ask. So, babe, what would you say, as we're waiting for these questions to come in, what would you want to say to the men out there? And the partners.
Look, there's a lot of data and statistics and numbers that, we are number-driven people, you and I, babe, and we put a lot of stock in those numbers, and you can hear a million ways in which something's not going to work. Just truly, truly believe in the one way you can make it work, and that you can make that relationship work regardless of what the ultimate outcome ever would be. Some people are are different in that respect. But that was one thing that I really latched onto is that, hey, look, let's just, we've heard it. We've heard all the different ways something's not going to work. And those are those people, you know, that's their story. That's somebody else's story. That's not our story. Let us determine our story. And you need to let you and your significant other determine your story and believe in that story, despite all the visual cues and the auditory cues around you. Keep focused on your goal.
And what would you say to the ladies?
I wouldn't say much different. Believe in yourself. I think so many women struggle with the belief in themselves and they develop that feeling of inadequacy or envy or whatever the case might be. But you have to believe in your strength. And if you know so many of the women that my wife coaches with, they're strong, type A, high producing women, and they have this incredible belief in their capabilities. And then when it comes to this, they fall apart. So take that belief that you've had your entire life. This is no different. You've never been a failure at anything else in your life. Why would you be a failure now? Be the strong, confident woman for your future child, and be the strong, confident woman for your husband that and for your relationship that you know you can be and that you know you are.
So what would you say? Oh, I also wanted to get your take on, what do you think about positive thinking?
Yeah, positive thinking is an aspect. We had moments laying in bed, hey, we're going to think more positive tomorrow. You know, today was a backslide, but we're going to think more positive tomorrow. And that usually stuck around until we got slapped in the face by about noon the next day. And then you get back in that rut. And, okay, well, I'm going to think more positive for longer tomorrow. And that is a tool, but it is not the complete tool belt. It is not all of the resources that we've discovered that we really, really, truly needed.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. So, ladies, we have a couple more minutes here. If you have a question, ask us anything. You can hit *2 on your telephone keypad. And, you know, I think this is really, it's so freeing, actually, to be able to have this conversation and, you know, and really talk about, you know, all of these things that we've shared with you this morning. You know, you've gotten a notion of what it's like to be the other half of the fertility equation. You know, we shared with you this conversation and the series of conversations that we had to have on this journey in order to really put ourselves on the same page. And, you know, regardless of what showed up, you know, we recommitted to each other and we were very clear that, hey, this is us. And, you know, we're not going to let anything, you know, get between us and what we want. And, you know, and ultimately how we were able to use the disappointment and the failure to actually bring us more peace and joy. Like, we actually took those moments of disappointment and we used it to solidify our resolve that, look, we're going to live our lives. Like, we're going to continue to try and conceive, and, you know, but we're not going to let it define our lives. We're going to let this be a segue into a better life. And you know, not be defined by statistics or you know, letting these things that we were learning medically and learning about ourselves, you know, let that be information, but not be a verdict for us. And, you know, we also shared with you that this critical piece of the puzzle that made, you know, Asher's arrival no longer a matter of if, but when, it was really what we believed. It was our mindset. Would you agree, Ben?
Yeah, it was. It's a domino effect. It's the belief. It's the confidence. It's the, well, it does become a numbers game. If we are more intimate more frequently at the right times, then, of course, you know, the numbers will play out in our favor. But it's a domino effect that the belief in yourself returned, and the belief, not that there was a lack in belief in us, but the belief in the process that we were in to further develop our family returned, and the confidence returned, and a lot of things started snowballing towards success. You know, success breeds success. One success, hey, we did the right thing for the right reasons at that particular time, Let's replicate it. And boom, another success. Wait a second. This is starting to make sense. This is starting to work for us. We're going to continue down this path, and we continue to vigorously try to advance our confidence and our belief and our minds as best we could.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, really having that, you know, we definitely leverage the mind-body connection, because I remember going into treatments, you know, expecting it to fail, right? Like,
yes.
I think we were talking about that. Like, did you want to say anything about that?
No, it was just, hey, this is, it almost became, hey, we're just going to check some boxes because we're going to reach a point to where this just isn't going to work. And then we can call it quits, or however we were going to come to that determination. Because I think one real quick little story is that, if I can tell it, about you trying to give yourself a shot.
Oh, yeah.
And how I came home and found you just sheet white with these cold sweats, sitting on the edge of the bathtub with this needle in your hand. And I'm like, oh my, I'm not going to ask my wife to continue to do this forever. She's done so much and made so many efforts and sacrifices already that I knew right then that there was going to be a more swift end to this than maybe what we had discussed, because I wasn't going to ask you to go through that again and again and again. I couldn't bring myself to ask that of you. So then I had to restart tooling my mind. Okay, well, then if we're not doing IVF, then this isn't going to happen at all until we retooled our beliefs.
Right, because I think at that point we were like, you know, we didn't, you know, I think when we hit rock bottom, I mean, we really didn't have any reason to believe except in ourselves. And we had to, you know, get very, very clear and say, look, you know, if we're not going to, you know, if we're not available to do, you know, more of these treatments just because we're sick of it, you know, we've got to pull upon other resources. And it's kind of funny because I think, you know, having seen the success that we saw along the way, like had we gotten our mindset right sooner, I mean, who knows what would have happened? You know, we spent so much time, so much money, so much of our resources just stuck in, you know, in replaying these old fear-based stories that, you know, frankly, it was pretty obvious to me. And I don't know if it was obvious to you, but, you know, maybe in retrospect that, you know, we weren't even giving ourselves the best possible chances with the treatment because of what we believed. And
no.
The way that, oh, go ahead.
We were absolutely sacrificing the true benefits that we could have been yielding based on our treatment. So, I mean, Western medicine, incredible advances. You know, Eastern medicine and all the other things that you were doing helped to support you in such a terrific way. But with the lack of the mindset, we were throwing good money after bad, because the investment we made in all those things was for us. It wasn't going to work because the mind was so toxic.
Yeah, no, I think that was pretty clear. I mean, so ladies, you have had the opportunity to hear, you know, one couple's perspective on this, and, you know, hear, you know, one really awesome man's perspective on this, and how, you know, what does it take to be, oh, this is one thing I would ask you, babe. What would you say it really takes to be an awesome partner on this journey?
Oh,
from your perspective?
Unconditional support. Give each other the benefit of the doubt. The small things will add up, and they'll become big things that don't need to be big things. It's got to be support-based. It's got to be a firm belief and strong support, because, you know, whether it's an extra dish left in the sink as an oversight, that becomes a big thing. It's you got to give each other the benefit of the doubt that this journey and this partnership and the work with each other is for each other, and don't sweat the little things. Keep the focus on the big things and the big goal, which is the relationship and the family.
Okay, so babe, we have a couple questions coming in from online. We have Pam in New York City, who's asking, you know, what are the tools we can use besides positive thinking? Do you want to take a stab at that, Ben? That's kind of what I coach and teach women to do.
I'm not the professional in this by any means, But you know, yeah, there are absolutely tools. Whether it's hey, look, we just had a cycle coming up, and we've got a 2 week wait. There's mental cues and tools that to use. And it's not just okay. Well, I'm going to do it this time. It's a little bit more in depth than that. And I don't listen in on your coaching calls, and you don't talk to me about your clients. And again, I'm not the professional, but you've done a lot of work and put a lot of thought and a lot of effort in this in supporting women around the world to make this happen. So this is your world.
Okay, so I'll answer that question. So Pam, here's the thing, and as my husband was sharing, you know, positive thinking alone, I mean, that's just, it's a temporary fix. It's not the complete toolbox. And, you know, for you, I mean, I don't know you, Pam, so, you know, maybe you would be somebody who would definitely want to reach out and take advantage of the time with me that we offer to the Circle and Bloom community to chat about working together. You can go to www.frommaybetobaby.com/breakthrough, or if you're listening online, you can click the little gray box in the upper left-hand corner to apply for some time with me. But you know, this is about having a sustainable mindset, because you can read all of the internet memes you want, you can listen to whatever podcast, but like, look, at the end of the day, there's you, and you've got to have the unique mindset tools for yourself, because, you know, every one of us comes to this journey with a different set of experiences, life experiences, familial experiences, you know, the different social groups we were raised amongst. You know, we have all these different experiences, and one tool that works for one person may not work for another. So, you know, as a coach, I approach everyone completely individually. There is indeed a systematic way to shift your mindset. So, you know, there are tried and true methods, but within those methods, I mean, there are nuanced approaches for each and every person, which makes, you know, an average tool extraordinary when, you know, when it's tailored to each individual. So I would encourage you, Pam, if you're interested in that, you know, reach out, because look, you know, positive thinking alone isn't going to do it. And you probably figured that out if you're asking this question. So the answer ultimately is it depends. It depends on the person. It depends on the circumstance. So that would require a little bit more review for that. So we also have a question, babe, from Amy in Highlands Ranch. How would you suggest couples who've experienced traumatic loss reframe their mindset? Well, that's a big question too, Amy. I mean, you really want to give yourself, you know, and it also, I'm only guessing at what you mean, you know, what your definition of traumatic loss is here. If you want to call in, you can certainly ask me that question live if you want. But without specifics, I can't really tell you. But look, you know, what I can tell you here, though, is you can reframe. And I think that's the best starting point, is knowing that you can even reframe that view at all, because we experienced miscarriage. And, you know, that was one of the things that we had to work through as well. And, you know, I would say from our own experience, I mean, this is just our experience. I don't know if it's everybody's experience, but, you know, we actually used our own loss, our own traumatic loss. And, you know, in our definition, that would include the miscarriage, as a springboard. We're like, oh my gosh, you know, it happened. It actually happened for us, you know, that we actually got that far. And it coincided with a mindset shift. So that, you know, after years and years of failure, we finally got pregnant. And of course, you know, it was tragic that we didn't carry that pregnancy to term, but we were so grateful at that point to know that my body was in the game, that we were in this process together. And we're like, okay, we're not going to let this destroy us. We're actually going to use this as proof that we're on the right track. Yes, we didn't carry to term, but the point was, is that this is happening for us. It was the first real acknowledgement and kind of, you know, win for us to see that we could even get that far, because we had faced such, you know, so many years of failure. So, you know, so I would offer that to you, Amy, and, you know, you do with that what you wish, but, you know, what you've got to know is that you can reframe. And that's a critical piece of information to begin with. So, I mean, that knowing that you can reframe it, is that can in and of itself can be a huge win. So I'm going to go back to the phone lines. We have a question coming in from Richmond, Virginia. If you're calling in from Richmond, Virginia, and your number ends in 89, what's your name and what's your question?
This is Tracy, and I don't have a question. I just wanted to say this is I don't want people to think this is a plant. I'm actually one of Rosemary's.
Is this my Tracy?
She actually helped me, and I really wanted to just say, you know, kind of the question that the fact that
Oh, love, we're losing you there. We're losing you. We couldn't quite hear you. What was that?
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. So what I want to say to the other two ladies that had just had the online questions, that's kind of pretty much where I was. I mean, I just want to kind of reaffirm what was said earlier. It's the fact that you guys are even listening in, that's your first step of actually changing your mindset. You know, we listen to a lot of stuff, and like you guys were saying early on in the seminar, it's you know, we go through so much stuff and you hear so much stuff, but the fact that you're here, it starts with your mind. But, you know, I do want to do a shout-out to Roseanne and the tools that she gives you. It takes you further along than changing your mindset. It actually changes not just your mind, but it changes how you show up. It changes you physically. It changes you mentally to get you to where you want to be. So I just really wanted to say that that's the first step. And the fact that anything that changes you in your mindset, it really does trickle to your partner. And so it you can't do this alone by yourself. So I really just wanted to give that shout out to you guys. So A plus.
Oh, Tracy, thank you so much for joining us, love. Who knew you'd be on this morning? So, oh my gosh, what a delight. Ladies,
yes.
You have
well,
to know, I mean, this woman, this journey, yes. I mean, this is part of what makes this journey so amazing. The women that I've had the opportunity to work with, including Tracy, and I mean, it has changed my life yes. to be able to work with women like Tracy and see, you know, what they create in their lives, because you got your baby, didn't you?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Got my baby when, like you guys were saying, the numbers weren't there. You know, as I like to say now, working with Roseanne, science said my baby wasn't supposed to be here, but through my change and my positive thinking and just the tools you gave me and just my mindset, my baby came, aged, and was not a number. And, you know, baby number two is probably on the way soon. That's I'm going to put it out there.
If anyone can do it, it's you, my love. Well, oh, my
exactly.
gosh, you're going to have to hug that amazing husband of yours.
Kiss yes.
that little boy for me, my love. And,
thank
oh,
you.
My gosh, what a beautiful thing to have you on this morning. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. Thank you guys both for sharing your story. I love it. You guys are awesome.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Love
you're
to you,
welcome.
Woman. I'm going to mute
welcome.
Your line for your privacy. Thank you.
Okay.
So, loves, we are going to wrap it up here. Actually, we have another call from Illinois. If you're calling in from Elmhurst, Illinois, and your number ends in 99, what's your name and what's your question?
Hi, good morning. This is Bob. Actually, this is not a plant either, but Roseanne, you work with my wife, Jessica. So, just want to say thank you to both and to Brandon as the guy here. I appreciate your thoughts and the courage it takes to talk about this as well from the guy's perspective. So I appreciate that.
Oh my
absolutely.
God, okay.
Yeah. No. It's we've never done this before. We've talked about it, and I'm not a guy that makes new friends and is outgoing and talks to a bunch of people. So when she approached this, I was like, yeah, hey, honey, that sounds like a real good idea. She started this thought, you know, well over a year, probably a year and a half ago. And I'm like, oh, okay, yeah. And Bob, I wasn't going to bring this up on my own. She kept pushing it and pushing it and pushing it. And we got some concessions. I got my reward. She's getting what she needs. So we can make it work. But thanks for that.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you guys. Appreciate that, because it really does the support's there, and we really appreciate your guys sharing on your journey to help us guide our journey as well. So thank you.
Good.
Oh, thank you, Bob. Oh, my gosh. Big hugs to you, and you kiss that beautiful wife of yours. So I'm going to put your line on mute. So, loves, we're gonna wrap this up, and we got to get our son Asher to his swimming lesson. It's his second swimming lesson. It's hilarious. But look, you know, I think what we want in wrapping this up, you know, we really want you to understand that you're not alone, and that ultimately, as you can see here, you know, everyday people are able to transform. I mean, you heard from Tracy, and, you know, and you absolutely have power in this situation. It doesn't always feel that way, and it can feel so lonely and so frightening. But look, you, with the power of what you think and believe, you can entirely put yourself on a different path. We did. Tracy and her husband did. Jessica and her husband are on their way. Like, it's just so doable, and it's so possible. You know, you've got to give yourself the best possible chances that you can, and that comes from what you think and believe. So love yourself, love your partnership, you know, love your marriage, and love the future that you want to create together enough to change what you think and believe, and give yourself the best possible chance by going for it, believing in yourself, cultivating the mindset that's going to set you up for success. All right, everybody. So if that is our last question, you know, we're going to be taking off, and we really want to thank you for your generosity with your time and just being here with us. You know, go have an amazing day and really take a stand for having what you desire on this journey. And just know that you too, you know, you can be the smart couple who wins on this fertility journey. And it's all going to come down to what you think and what you believe, and taking the action that's actually going to support your fertility. So have an amazing rest of your day, my love. Take care. And thank you again to Circle and Bloom for making this possible. Such a big shout out to them. My name is Roseanne Austin, and thank you for joining us. The moderator.